Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com. Go.
Witness Full Service Radio.
You are listening to DCPL's Into the Library Verse on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Washington, D.C. My name is Will, and I'm joined by my co-host, Portia.
Hey, everyone, it's Portia, and I just want to say that you're now entering the Libraryverse. You'll meet the characters of the D.C. Public Library System. We'll explore the lives and positions of library staff members that you encounter every day. Today, we have two guests, Diamond and Jordan, who are library associates from the Outreach Department.
Hi, guys.
Hello. All right. So we thought we'd get started with a fun little game.
Okay.
Our How DC Are You game. Oh. So we got some questions.
This should be fun.
Yes. We definitely had our mumble sauce conversation last.
Yes,
last
we did.
So we're going to move past that question, but that's the best. So how many busboys and poets are there in DC proper?
Okay. I'm going to say 3.
Okay.
Do
you want to make a guess? I'm going to say, educated guess, 5.
5? All right, Will.
So, in D.C. proper, there's 4. Now, there are more in the region.
And, yeah.
But in D.C. proper, there's 4. One was really hard because by Tacoma Park Metro, there's one, and it's just inside the border. Just barely.
Okay.
So, that was tricky.
And we debated that earlier, so we were just like, wait.
Yeah.
4 is going to be my guess, but I was like, let me go one up higher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's a really hard one.
Ooh. Give it to us.
I don't think either of you is going to know this.
So, oh, gosh, I know what I'm
gonna. Or maybe you'll prove me wrong, you know. What is DC's bird?
You said DC or Baltimore?
DC.
Okay.
It's what is DC's official bird, ooh, I guess more accurately.
Wow, I only know 2 birds, so.
You only know 2 birds?
Yeah.
I know several of them, but I don't know what would be.
I can tell you what it's not.
I can tell you a joke, like the black pigeon, because I've seen those only in D.C. Are those not?
No.
Oh. I would say the cardinal. The cardinal is my actual guess, okay. The cardinal.
That's also wrong.
I didn't think it was, but I was like, I was going to put something out.
We kind of knew nobody would know the answer to this.
Can we have a hint?
Sure.
The pelican?
It's a bird that I've never heard of.
Okay, well, yeah.
That's
a dodo bird?
My hint. Yeah.
It's not. What's a good hint for that bird?
Is there a specific color?
It starts
maybe?
With wild.
No. It doesn't.
It
starts with a W, though.
There we go. It starts with a W.
A wren?
A willoughby. That's not a bird.
Okay.
A wren?
So we have some guesses. Okay. A willoughby.
I just created that.
Wood thrush. Does anyone know anything about that?
I thought
that was a sickness that you got.
It sounds like it.
like you've been in an abandoned building at some point, and like you got wind thrushed.
You lit the wall.
Well, that would be a gross little cough. So moving on to our next question. I thought this is pretty interesting. What is the DC's team?
The DC team?
Yeah. In general, like
sports?
Yeah, sports teams. What are the teams in DC?
Football.
The Wizards. The Wizards.
Teams. Okay.
For basketball. The Redskins for football.
Yes.
The Nets or Nationals.
Oh yes, I don't know why I didn't that first.
Or the Caps, like the Capitals for hockey.
Okay.
And then Nats for baseball.
Thank you.
You're missing one.
Missing
another sport.
The women's basketball. Mystics.
Mystics. That was on my tongue.
I'm sorry about that. I'm not really into sports, so the 4, I'm happy about that.
Well, but I should have more history sort of oriented, history and culture oriented. Where is the Frederick Douglass House located?
In Anacostia?
That is an acceptable answer.
Okay.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. That is correct.
Thank you.
I was going to be picky and say it's historical Anacostia, not just Anacostia. But I really don't know the difference, so.
I know.
There is a difference?
Okay. I'm from D.C. and I've never understood the difference.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Anacostia.
No, shout out to Anacostia.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah. Like, it was all praise. It's you know, it's historic.
What about chili? Famous chili in D.C.
Ben's Chili Bowl.
Chili Bowl.
Oh, man. That was too easy.
Yeah.
And there's only two locations, right? One on H Street and one on U Street.
What's the original location?
U Street.
Man. Okay. Yes.
We're and Ben's next door is, I've been to both of those places. So.
Okay.
Yes.
So I have been to both places as well, but I will say, I don't know. Do we eat hot dogs still? Is that still a thing?
I've
had it once.
A good chili dog. Okay. But I'm really basic with it. So if I can do something at home, but a good chili dog is good. So.
Okay. Well, there we go. We still support. We're still here for
chili dogs.
Yes. Okay. So this is going to be an interesting one. And this has no correct answer. This is basically just how you feel. If DC was a drink, what would it be?
A drink.
Yep.
An alcoholic drink?
It can be whatever.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
I'm going to say it would be, for me, a Jack Daniel honey.
Okay. That's.
And am I giving why or am I just...
Upset.
Sure.
Yeah, why?
Okay. Because it's something that I think I like, and then I drink it, and I'm like, this feels like the right move. And then afterwards, I'm like, I don't know. But then I'm happy that I had it. So it gives me moody feels, but good moody feels.
Interesting. Okay.
If that makes sense.
No,
it doesn't. I know. But yeah, that's my drink.
All right, what about you, Jordan?
I would say probably Sprite. It's like, it would be Sprite because I only come to work in, like, you know, after hour stuff in DC. So I don't really live here. So I don't really know, like, a lot about the life and things and culture here. So I would say a Sprite just because it's, like, you know, very traditional, but it still has that pop and that kick that I feel like is DC that I get.
What about you, Will? What do you think about the drink of DC?
I don't know. What about you, Portia?
So I made a joke about this, but I really feel like DC should coin this. We should just have, like, swamp water and vodka and just throw it together, and that should be our drink.
That is a
we're
good
in, we're technically in a swamp. Yeah, I feel like it just be, like, yeah.
Nice blend.
Nice blend, yeah. Throw some little potholes in it. There we go.
Oh.
I don't know. How about coffee? I feel like there's a lot of really busy people here.
Yes. I agree.
We are definitely a busy lot of coffee town. Shops. So we are done with our game. How DC are you? So do you guys feel DC or
no?
Yeah.
No.
But I feel like that's okay. I feel like the reason DC is so good is because people who aren't DC also come here. So we have this little bit of
which
both.
Makes it more DC.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely a transient city. But I would definitely say this. I find it hilarious that I'm still the only DC native at this table.
Yes. I was like, I want to talk about that.
Yeah. So where are you guys from?
I am from Baltimore. A split between Baltimore City and Baltimore County, which is a real thing. We'll talk about that.
Yes. I'm from born in Baltimore City, or Balmo City, and then raised in Baltimore County. More in the county than the city.
And I'm more in the city than the county.
All right. Do they ever say be more anymore? Is that not a thing?
I feel like that's...
I've not been home in so long, so they probably do or they probably don't.
I've never heard my folks say that. I feel like outsiders say that.
Okay. So
be more. It doesn't even...
I think it's good on, like, book covers and, like, you know...
From the 90s, yeah. Isn't
that? And The Wire, you know, all those things.
We're not going to go there. Because,
I don't know. Whenever I hear somebody say be more, I immediately start thinking about s'mores.
Right. Ooh, that sounds good. But s'more day. S'more day and be more.
Okay.
So just to, you know, kind of get into what do you guys do? Because, you know, you guys are in a new department, the outreach department, that was developed after the closure of MLK for renovation. So what exactly is outreach?
So let's start by saying shout out to the outreach department.
Yes.
And shout out to DCPL. We do great work here. I will start with the general, I guess, outreach that we that anybody in branch normally does, which is just pretty much tabling. So we go to different events, whether it's a back to school, a beat the streets, a safer stronger, any type of festival or event. You set up a table, you have free giveaways, you have information, you can sign up for library cards and things like that. And it's just literally us being there and being a presence in that event. And then there's embedded outreach, which would you like to talk about that, Diana?
Yeah. So our big goal is to offer library service outside of our walls. Like, that's our big theme. So we do a lot of programs as well, like the same sort of programs that we would do in a branch. We would do it with an outside partner, so we can be at a rec, a church, a co-working space, and we've been doing this for, what, 2 or 3 years now?
Going on 2 years.
So we've been in a lot of different spaces and places, but our big goal is just to get out there and just try to connect those that can't get to us or can't get to a branch with the services that we offer. So that's outreach. Yeah.
So there's, like, outreach, which is, like, a one-off with the tabling, and then it's embedded outreach that we focus more on, which is trying to create partnerships for ongoing services or programs and things like that.
Cool. I would definitely say I've actually been on outreach with you, Jordan, and there was an all-day festival, and that was interesting, and I don't know if I could ever do it, but I do appreciate you and everyone in outreach. Yeah.
Those type of, like, us being a part of an event or a festival and tabling is fine, but I feel like us having our own festival and having other organizations come and table it, it's also a very fun and stressful but still beneficial activity. So.
Yeah.
I definitely say I saw a lot of happy faces. And again, to you, Diamond, like, we recently had an event at the Fab Lab NOMA that you that we gave you a shout out earlier this week about, because you actually helped facilitate that. And I just want to thank you for that. And I look forward to partnering with everyone in outreach again in the future.
And if I can say this, Portia, for that event, she did a great job. It was passed to me, but I was like, Portia, I feel like this is a Portia thing. And she just put it all together, and it just was perfect. So thank you.
Well, I love praises, so I will always take the praise.
Yes, here.
There we go. Thank you. So another thing we want to ask is, like, what made you get into outreach? Like, why did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is my second library system that I've worked for. Okay. And my last position, I was in L.A. For youth services, and I was the only one in my department. And so I used to go to do, like, my version of embedded outreach at daycares and schools around my area. So I was loving being in the community, seeing different people that who weren't able to come to the library. So when the opportunity came here, I jumped on it because I wanted to be able, again, bring services to the community that they might not get any other way.
I would definitely say this. It's impressive that you had a life before DCPO.
I'm going to have a life before, during, and after.
As you should. For me, when I first joined Outreach, I have been at DCPO at this point for 3 or 4 years, like 4 years. But I was within the branches. And when it came up, I just felt like it was time for a new opportunity, a new look. And it's definitely different from branch life for sure. Yeah. So it's definitely a new opportunity, but I think that's why I picked it. So just to see what else is out there.
And do you guys have communities that you're most passionate about doing outreach with?
Yeah, so we focus on wards 5, 7, and 8. We're trying to get more into the ward 5 space, but Jordan does a lot of work in ward 7.
Well, I do a lot of work. I mean, I go from 5 to 8, but, like, most of mine is concentrating actually ward 8. But like I said, I feel like any organization or group that has people that want library services, that's my favorite community. So I just enjoy being out in and seeing everyone and, like, seeing new faces and having different opportunities that I don't feel like I would have the same opportunity if I was just in a branch. Because we do have our outreach, but you're only in your own community. And I can go to, like, Ward 5 and do things there. I can do the same thing in Ward 8, 7, 6, or 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, all wards are open, but we're focusing mostly on
Speaking of how DC are we, outreach has taught me a lot about DC. Because I do feel like we tend to stay in our own little space. Right. I've been everywhere, more than I've ever been, and I've been here for a while, and I'm like, I didn't even know that this was a thing. I didn't know that this was a place. So outreach has helped with that. So I feel more embedded in D.C.
You can speak on that. So what do you mean by you've seen a lot more?
Because when I first moved here, I lived in Ward 7, and now I'm in Ward 6, right? And I actually just moved, like, across the bridge. So I was only in that area. And then I worked in those areas. So now if we have to be in Ward 5 or just elsewhere, I have to go there. So now I'm like, I didn't know that these things existed. I don't think I thought to care, to be honest, as well. But it just showed me that DC is such a small place, but it's so much happening here. It's just been a great opportunity to be like, get outside of your house, outside of your branch, and see that people live in wards 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8. insects.
I agree. In my Baltimore accent, Maryland is where I live. So I live in Maryland. So again, like I don't get to experience like the day to day kind of sort of like DC life. And I used to work in Ward 4 at a branch. So again, I was stuck in that general community. But when we first started the outreach department, we did, you know, research through like maps and like other type of like geographical things. And then we also like literally took the information we had and walked those communities. Like we were like, that's what our charge was. We walked around and made sure that all of the churches and schools and daycares that they said were online were literally there. And were we missing things? And wow, this community has like 12 daycares, but this other community who's double the size only has two. Mm-hmm. So are they getting a lot of the children's services, things like that? So that was allowing us to get out and actually see the community and actually kind of get a feel for what they might want before we had our actual conversation to see how can we offer them services.
That's very cool.
I would say, like Jordan, I shamefully live in Maryland.
There's no shame in that. I'm proud of a Maryland resident. Shout out to Maryland.
I am a DC native. However, I recently moved to Maryland within the last few years. I regret it though, because if I would have like known that Amazon was coming here, I would have like definitely tried to and failed to buy property somewhere near Georgetown. But
okay, go Portia.
But yeah, I definitely think that, to hint on your point, that DC has so many different people, and they're in this in a very small area. There's a lot of things that we just encompass.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's part of the magic of DC. That's part of it being like historic areas, and that's also by Ward 6 and Capitol Hill. Like, it's different environments everywhere you go to DC, and there's different little nicks and crannies that you can find that are, you have different scenes in every different part of the area. Like, Petworth has its own little theme. Then you have Capitol Hill,
Georgetown. Everything feels different.
Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything has its own kind of vibe, and you can go and move to whatever vibe kind of fits you.
And that's what
or whatever you can afford.
Whatever you can afford, right?
That's yes. That. I was like, is anyone going to say that? Yeah, I was
going to say that's why I'm shamefully in Maryland. but I definitely think that DC is its own special place. There's a lot of things that will never change. Hopefully, that's one of the. We can still get our hot dog with chili on it.
Yes. That's the Jack Daniel piece I was trying to say, right?
That's the Smart Water piece I was trying to say.
Yeah.
See, I was going to say like an old fashioned, because I feel like that's one of my favorite drinks, where it's like, it's classic, but it's always now and relevant. Mm. But I wish there was something where it could, like, I guess what I would say, DC's like in Long Island, because I feel like there's different variations of it.
There
you have your Tokyo tea and like all this, where you just change one ingredient and it becomes something new. And I feel like that's where DC is, how you place, you know, different things, and it's like this little thing. It's still DC.
It still has
the basic, but if you change a little bit, you can give it a different name, but it's still the original thing.
Long Island seems so rough.
Yeah, though. I mean, I agree with that because I don't know if you guys know about Berry Farms that recently was closed and being redeveloped.
That's one of the sites that we go to for some of our events. Okay. So that will. I'm not sure when it's going to be finished, but we're hoping that it's up and running, or they have like a temporary space during the summer so that we can still provide that community with like summer challenge things and other resources.
That's awesome. All right, so this is enough about work. Let's get into your let's get into your personal lives.
Dun, dun, dun.
So one thing that me and Will always kind of discuss is like our childhood self in a bit. So how did you describe your childhood self and your childhood heroes?
You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, I've been doing a lot of self-reflection, so this is perfect.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Right? Here's my therapy session. When I was a child, I was very creative. I don't think I was as outgoing as I am now. People said that I was always talking, but I'm like, I don't remember ever talking to you, so I guess that's a thing. But I was very creative, very passionate, always very academic. I loved school a lot. I loved the Scholastic Book Fair. I loved all those things. I like to think I was a very well-read child as well. And I was very social as well, which has changed a lot. And I just had that talk with a friend about how when I was a child, I had like so much around me, but as you get older and you work and you just do that stuff, you become more isolated. But that was me as a child, and I was probably some other good stuff. I have to call home and ask them who I was, but for now, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. And who was your hero, your childhood hero?
My childhood. You know, I was about to say O.J. Simpson, and I did not. He was a figure in my childhood because he was so big, but I didn't mean to say hero. My hero was any person or character that was on MTV. Mm. Any VJ, any Real World cast member. I was obsessed. Oh, and Oprah. I watched a lot of Oprah growing up. I was an old child. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, if you're watching the OJ.
Know him personally.
Yes. Yes, OJ. But yeah.
I would say the OJ ruined the Bronco for me because that was my dream car.
Wow. That would be her
dream. Yeah, that was my dream car. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, you know, I can give you a nice little sedan. Well...
I'm done.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to cut you off. So for me, like I feel like I'm still the same person, just a little bit different. I was shy, and I still have that, you know. But like, it was just shy all around with friends, family. I was very to myself, very focused, academic. My goal was to get into a good college and pay as little as possible. I guess you could say I was like a little nerdy and like, but I mean, I feel like I still had like a fun childhood, but it was very focused. I had it, like I needed to make sure I got to where I needed to get to and do what I needed to do. And if I had time to have some fun in the process, great. And also like, I felt like, there was a question that we had, I think in Library 101, one of our trainings that we had, and they asked us like, as a child, how did you view the library? Mm-hmm. And for me, the library was literally a place to use the resource and then leave. I would come if I needed to print something out or to check out a book. So I was literally in the library for no more than 10 to 15 minutes, but I used it quite often. And so working for the library now and seeing how teens and everyone else use it, it's different, but I do appreciate that it's still being used today, even like, you know, the same way it was used before. And my hero as a child was Oprah. I just definitely felt like her struggle into the sex she has, into the sex she still has, which is inspirational. And another person was Ben Carson, because he went from very poor and he kind of, you know, a class clown and all these other things he was going through, and then was able to like get it together, become educated, and become a surgeon who was like revolutionizing like neurosurgery. And like, I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, and then I was like, do I want to be in school for 22 plus years and still be in school?
Changes the game, right?
So then it went down to being like a pediatrics or something like that. And now I'm working for the library. So
you're still helping people. Yeah. Still helping people.
Yes. Yeah. In a different way.
Well, something that kind of I heard from both of you just now was like sort of acknowledgement of some nerdiness. You know, and you talked about the book fairs as a kid. I remember I loved those.
Obsessed.
Kind of a good segue into what about now? Like, what are you reading now? And it doesn't have to be books. It can be anything. Yeah. You could just say, yo, I read Facebook or whatever, you know?
I am really into pop culture and entrepreneurship. So I read a lot of books on business or a lot of articles. For my pop culture piece, I love my Access Hollywood. I love my just online, like, what's happening next. I love Wendy Williams. She's a legend. Let's just put it out there, and then we're finished with it. And
I don't want to sneeze on the.
And of course, you know, I love Instagram a lot. I get a lot of my news from there. And I think there was a guilt at first, especially working in such a institution where you feel like you have to read long form and just have something more traditional. But I find a lot of what I need on those platforms. So, business books, pop culture platforms, and Instagram. And I love some Housewives. That's how me and Jordan bond over Housewives too. So that's a piece of content that we love as well.
I'm sad to say I actually don't read as much as I used to or want to. I feel now I'm such a passive reader, so if I was to like get a book, and like, it would be like an audiobook or something that, you know, it has to be read to me. I guess the only thing I really read are subtitles. So whether it's like an anime or some type of like foreign film that I might be watching, I just love to just be able to sit there and like not have to use all of my brain cells to figure out what's going on and create images and things like that. People get paid to show me this, so that's right now. That's the kind of the moment I'm in. But
you know, I think there's some validity to that, and actually hear patrons and staff discussing, you know, audiobooks specifically and whether or not it counts as reading. And I think a lot of people really would count it as reading and is a valid way to, you know, continue expanding your mind. I mean, this is obviously a good opportunity to plug our excellent audiobook selection, definitely, both online as well as, you know, the physical CDs that we have.
Shout out to Overdrive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very old school. Like, I like to carry books, mm-hmm, even if I don't read them. I just like to have them. And we have a lot here, and we have a lot that I don't think even we really understand. So, I mean, I think both work well. I would like to see more people with more physical books in their hands.
Right.
There's something about holding it.
I mean, one show I'm watching now, which is interesting, is The Magicians. Mm. And there's a part that they're talking about with, like, spoiler, if you're not watching or not caught up, you might want to just, like, pause or turn down the sound for a second. But it's not really a spoiler, but it's just, like, the whole fact of knowledge. And they're, like, you know... Yeah. Building this knowledge, and then who has access to it versus who doesn't. So, I mean, if you're not out there reading, read. Summer Challenge is coming up soon. And if you don't like to reread, then have someone read to you. I mean, it's just as fun. Like, I love being in the car or clean up the house and put in an audio book and just let it read to me. I comprehend just as well. And if I miss something, I rewind it and they'll read it to me again.
Yeah.
So you just rewind it and just, like, listen back to
it. Listen to it like 3/4 times. I'm like, because you read something, you keep reading it, and you're like, I'm not getting it. I'd rather just have someone read it to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, you just have to find what works best for you, and also just find a book that you actually like. Because I think sometimes we pick books because we feel like, I should be reading this book. Mm-hmm. But if you're not interested in it, you're not going to, you know, read it. So just find something that you like.
Yeah, and I think that's also, you know, a good thing to point out, you know, regarding your children as well. You know, if your child doesn't seem interested in reading, it might be worth having a conversation with the children's librarian and see if we can find some books that might be more up your child's alley and their interest. Mm-hmm. So,
because they have these things called high lows, which is like, you know, high interest but like low reading levels. So, I mean, sometimes it could be their reading level, mm-hmm, if their interest. So, I mean, there's books for everybody.
Yeah. Right. It is. We have more than enough. More, like, you can than find enough. Something.
I would definitely say, like, when I was a child, and, you know, your parents read to you. In this case, my mom was definitely, like, a heavy reader. And she would read me the Grimm Tales because that's what I liked. And it was, like, the original Grimm Tales, you know, where, you know, just murder happens. Stuff happens. Yeah, and so, like, that kind of has led on to my now present-day reading where I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to read about this. This is about, like, a sociopath who just, like, kills a bunch of people. And it's like, you know what? That's pretty bad. So I had actually taken a break from reading, which I think is a real thing as well. Yeah. It's kind of like taking a break and, like, looking at different sources, because you can look at a book and read a book that's already been published and it's not something that's being reworked on or reformed. And also check out blogs are always being reworked, and that's something that I find interesting, or like stories that are happening today. Trying to think of a good one.
Or even, like, kind of going what you're saying, like, things that I read back then, reading now. Because, right, like, you know, I don't know who's here has watched The Color Purple, but I've watched The Color Purple as a child and as a teen and now as an adult. Mm-hmm. And each time I've watched it, I've gained something new that I didn't know before. And as a child, when I used to read, like, I was an avid reader as a child. I used to do, like, thrillers and mysteries, like, all of John Grisham stuff. Like, I was, like, in love with all of those. And, like, at, like, a 78-year-old, I'm like, why are you reading? Like, I'm always in the adult section, like, getting books, and I'm like... Does your parents know? I'm like, it's fine. It's not because there's anything bad in it. It's just, like, because of the subject, you know, they were talking about. But I love those type of books. And then into teenage, I turned it more into, like, urban fiction and Christian fiction, just because I wanted that nice balance. I wanted that street life that you might see in, like, you know, Baltimore City, or, you know, not so much Baltimore County. But, you know, so still you're able to see some of those things, and those worked out. But also, too, like, you know, because of my faith, you know, I wanted those books that I could also relate to again.
That's a good point about what you read when you were a child and now. Like, Black history books, I love them, right? But as I'm older and I can, you know, take in the info a bit more, what I thought was one thing, now as I see it as an adult, I'm like, wow, that's not the same thing I read, or that's not the same info that was in that one book, Eyes on the Prize. Now I have this other book where I'm like, oh, you guys gave the details. Like, this is not what we were taught. So, yeah, it changes, you know?
And also a lot of, as a child, a lot of some of the books that I did read were more motivational things. Like when I mentioned earlier, Ben Carson, one of the first books I've ever received as a gift was Gifted Hands, but it was the kids' version. And then when I got older, you know, my reading level got up, I actually got the original. And yeah. like, you know, that was something that, you know, people gave me. The Pact was another great book that as a child makes me want to holler. Like all these books were given to me as a child. So like, again, I'm always reading and trying to, you know, I definitely feel like knowledge and books are really good and inspirational to get the right ones in the right hands. Yeah.
And to that note, we also have the Birk to Books, which you can actually sign up for to receive free books. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you do not know about that, we do have a program called Birk to Books.
Books to birth.
Books to birth.
From 0 to 5. Any DC resident and anyone who's out there, even if you're not in the DMV area, you should go on to the Imagine Library, which is Dolly Parton, and see if your area is supported by that. And if not, go to your local library and say, hey.
Let me see if you can sign up.
See if we can sign up. Get some free books once a month until the age of 5.
I also feel like we should rename it to what I named it, because I feel like it flowed a little bit better.
She was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, someone in communication, just change that word.
You can rewrite that.
Okay, well, I definitely think that as a child, we kind of mature into teenagers. So who were you guys as, like, describe your teen self. Like, I was crazy. So how were you guys?
Again, I feel like as a teen, I was one of those, like, very bland, just kind of by the book. You know, perfect attendance, good grades. I had a job. I was in sports. Mm-hmm. I did after-school activities. Like, I, at the age of 14, had a job and had a full out resume because I had a dream to go to college, you know, when the first people in my family to graduate, all this stuff. And I was like, I don't need no help from anybody. I'm going to be able to pay for it myself. I'm going to be able to finance everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, my childhood was literally me preparing for my adulthood.
Was that even legal? You said 14?
Yeah, that's child
labor. As long as you have a parent's signature. I don't know if it's changed now. I'm a little bit older than some people in this room. But when I was a child in the high school, like, 14 was the starting age. I think 14 is a month. So, my birthday is late. So it's in the later years, so.
Yeah.
I had a job in high school as well, but I think it was like 15 in D.C. at the time. Mm-hmm.
It took me forever to find a job. I was 14
going on to 15. Okay.
It took me forever to find a job.
I was a cashier at a dry cleaner's.
Really?
For my, like, pretty much my whole high school career.
Oh, I loved my first job. I worked at Claire's, and I loved it.
Oh, that must have been a dream.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to love me some Claire's.
Yeah, and I, like, my story of being in that job was hilarious. I basically went to this woman, the manager, every day in Union Station after work, and I was like, I want a job here. And she was like, no. She was like, you need a resume.
Yeah. Resume.
She was like, you need a resume. And one thing the library does help is kind of helping people with resumes. And that's actually where my my mom works in the library system. And one of her colleagues actually helped me write a resume for me to get my job at Claire's. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. So I am very grateful for my first job. Yeah.
See, I wish I knew that was a thing. Like, if my library back in the day had that. Yeah. Because we had, like, career days and things like that in school and took the ASVAB. And I remember my first ever interview experience before I actually after I had my job, I took my resume into the guy and put it on the table. And he looked at it and was like, nope, I don't want that. Why? Because I'd done too much, put my in a page protector. And it was 2 pages. He was like, it's too long, and I didn't ask for all that.
So. That's so old school. Oh my
like,
goodness.
But it taught me a lesson. Like, you know, again, it was basic things that, again, it shouldn't be more than a page. And, like, you should be able to cite everything you need that you've ever done in the world does not need to be on that resume. So it was a lot of things that I learned in that moment that I kind of use now. I mean, I'm still not the best in resumes, but I feel like, you know, the library has plenty of resume books. We have a lot of resume classes and help, so...
So, yeah. So, me as a teen, a fun fact, I won most popular at my high school.
Wow.
So, that says a lot about me. Yeah. No, I was a pretty good kid. I had my teenage things, but I was always very smart about what I was doing. That's something I prided myself on. I was still very much into books and into school, and I knew I was going to college. Like, that wasn't even a question. Like, I just was. But it was just very, it was very vibrant. Like, I had a good time. I had fun. Like, I didn't feel like, you know, like, I hear certain stories and I feel so sad and so like, oh my God, like, that was horrific for you. But mine was lit. Like, I had a good time. So now I'm like, what's my life now? Because back then it was fun. So yeah.
No, I agree. Like watching TV now and seeing like certain things you see on TV, like I knew bullying was a thing and that's in that, but it's like the way people bully and why they bully and how they bully. I'm like, I don't think I've ever had that experience or saw those type of things when I was in school. I mean, I don't think I was popular, unlike Miss Diamond, but I was well known. And I feel like that's, I thought it was different. So like, I preferred to be known and not popular because the popular people always got their feelings hurt. And so.
Oh, actually, I was thriving. I was thriving. But I was also a child too. And I feel like I don't see that a lot today. Like people enjoying their childhoods and just being 16, being 15, like, it's okay. You don't have to be 28, you know? And I think that's why I had fun, and that's why it was such a positive experience, because I was a child, you know?
And that's one thing I miss.
I miss that, exactly.
I feel like I was preparing for my adulthood, and now that I'm adult, I'm like, oh, yeah, because
you'll be adult forever. Like,
and I'm like, yeah, so, like, enjoy, like, I tell people now, if anyone who's, like, young, or if you have young kids, let them know. Enjoy your youth now, because once you become an adult,
you're an adult.
You can't go back.
Yeah.
And there's a bills, and as we were saying earlier, the cost of living around here is insane.
Right. Bills and responsibilities that will never go away.
That's all about your adulthood at this point. Yeah.
So we have a couple minutes left here, and I think the last thing we kind of want to discuss is this whole Baltimore and D.C.
debate. I am
ready
for this discussion.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I'm going to start by saying this, okay? Follow me. Baltimore is in Maryland, right? Yes. Right?
Okay.
Maryland is a part of the DMV, and the DMV stands for what?
DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Right? But the DMV is...
The Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yeah, that can also be that.
Anyone who's not outside, right, we have the NBA. They have
but the DMV is a thing, an entity, a brand. And though Baltimore is in Maryland, and Maryland is a part of the DMV, Baltimore is not a part of the DMV. Does that make sense?
I agree.
Thank you.
I think I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I just feel like Baltimore,
I just look at a map and based on like geography and location, like where I look and see where I was born to where I live, they're still in the same area.
But we're talking culturally. Yeah. Like it's just
I didn't know that was a cultural thing. I thought it was like a geographical thing.
He said he's from Baltimore.
Yeah, D.C. and Baltimore are definitely two different things.
No, I said I was born in Baltimore and raised in Baltimore County.
So you don't even want to claim it. No one's claiming it.
No.
I'm claiming Baltimore because that's my hometown.
You have to be careful because when you tell people, if I say I'm from Baltimore County, people are not going to know what I'm talking about. If I say I'm from Baltimore, people know where I'm coming from. So I will say that because if I say I'm from, I don't know, Rockville, so I'm from Maryland.
I have a thing about that because one of my close friends who I love, she's from Columbia, and she would tell people she's from Baltimore. It's just different.
But people do the same thing with DC. They'll say like they're in the outskirts of DC, then you live in the outskirts of
DC. That's the outskirts.
I say I'm from Baltimore County, which is on the outskirts of Baltimore.
Well, I have a pet peeve because I hate when people are like from Hinesville and they're like, oh, well, I'm from DC, and I'm like,
exactly. It's not the same thing. Baltimore's Baltimore, Hinesville's Hinesville.
Because the experience is totally different.
Yeah, right. And it's just not the same thing. It's just not.
Like, we have Metro. I don't know what you have out there.
That's one thing I do miss about Baltimore. Their Metro is so easy. Baltimore's Metro, we have two ends. You have Owings Mills and you have John Hopkins. I know that's changed, but you either going up or down.
And Baltimore is a great place. I just want to plug them real fast.
Shout out to Baltimore.
It's a great place. And a lot of people have a lot of thoughts, Portia included, on Baltimore, but it's right, you know, up the street. It's a good time. It's growing. It's thriving. And it's still one of the last places that you can still feel like you're in a genuine city area.
And you know, there's an amazing arts community up there. It's incredible.
We're all part of the same DMV, and I wish that we would just come together. When there's time to be different, it's when the Battle of the Beltways,
when the
Redskins and the Ravens are going together, then yes, be different.
See,
but any other time,
even that sounds
let
different.
The 295
Ravens and Redskins,
Parkway build a bridge. Let us bridge it together.
Yeah, we're gonna.
So I'm going to end it on this now.
Okay.
Baltimore, we appreciate you. We know you're there, but you are also a 45 to 60 minute drive, and that means you do not count.
However,
or I'm here. I am here at DC Public Library, repping Baltimore.
Because a lot of DC people, PL workers, live in Baltimore.
Yes. Or from Baltimore.
And it's also worth noting that if you live in Baltimore, but you work in DC and you can provide some documentation of that, you are eligible for a DC library card. Isn't that true?
Yes.
That is true.
Yeah, so we're
that
not pushing true. You out. We're not pushing you out.
I'll push you out. That'll be a personal note. But surrounding counties in Maryland and Virginia, you can also get your library card. Yeah.
I got both.
Come to the DC Public Library System and get your library card.
PG County.
Yes, PG County, MoCo, Arlington. I think.
All that jazz.
All that jazz.
I just had to sing one time before I left.
This has been an episode of Into the Libraryverse on Full Service Radio, broadcasted live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Look forward to seeing you guys next time.
Bye. Thanks, Portia.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.